be seated. Come on, be seated. Okay. Thank you. You can be seated. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks a bunch. All right. Look in your Bibles at 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Let me say again, Brother Bell, thank you for having me come. It's my treat, listen, to be here and then preaching in it. What a blessing. But just to be here. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, if God don't speak to you when this singing's going on up here, I'm going to tell you, friend, there's something serious wrong. Yeah. Amen, Brother Fowler, there's something wrong. I mean, hey, you need to get plugged in somewhere. Hey, that'd help anybody. I mean, anybody. That's great. I mean, hey, you ain't going to beat it. I mean, this singing is just outstanding. And thank you for it. Then thank you for the invitation to come, the nice room over there, and the goodies that was in the room there, the bananas and crackers and beef jerky and water and Diet Coke and stuff. I appreciate everything. And then last night, the popcorn and the cake over here tonight. I appreciate everything. Thank you for being so kind and just being here and get to preach then with Brother Jenkins. And boy, God's so good, isn't it? And I've enjoyed all the music, enjoyed hearing Brother Jenkins preach, and I know you had great preaching before William got here. And I'm just going to try to preach honestly. Preach, get out the way, and let Brother Jenkins come and preach to you tonight. But I got something. I really tried to sort of get away from this. It seems like it keeps coming back to me. This is what the Lord, and I want to preach what God wants me to preach. I don't want to just preach. I want to do what God had me do. And I just want to be a blessing. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And we're going to read the first 6 verses. And read these verses. And then I'm going to bring you a message from these verses tonight. But thank you for everything. I just wanted to say that and mean it from the bottom of my heart. And what a good church you got here. And boy, I hope you know it and thank God for it. And if you got a blessing this week, go to Brother Bell. And if you get blessed tonight by the preaching or the singing of Brother Jenkins and myself preaching or the choir, or the special, if you get a blessing and you've been blessed this week, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to go to Brother Bell and say, Brother Bell, thank you for having this. Because he's the one that's responsible for it going on, or it wouldn't be no Faith Arbor week. And so you, if you got a blessing, you go thank your pastor and thank the Lord. And I appreciate all of you. Thank you for your prayers again. And don't quit, if you would. And I don't want to put, I know you got a lot to pray about, but if you would, every now and then you think about me. You know, I just appreciate if you just mention me. Paul said I made mention of you. You know, Paul knowed a lot of people and had a lot going on. But he said, I made mention of you. If you'll just say, Lord, don't forget that preacher down in Moxville. If you would pray for him, then I'll continue to get well. Now look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. Stand with me if you would. And I'm going to just read. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman and said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, notice there it is again, saying, Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for what we've already heard. Just to come in here and hear that good singing tonight was worth the trip. But Lord, tonight, since I am here, I cast myself upon you, dear Lord, needing your power, needing your blessings. And Lord, bless Brother Jenkins. It'll come in a little bit. What good messages he's preached. But dear God, tonight we both need you. Help us tonight as we try to preach. Thank you for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm preaching to you tonight on this title and this thought, The Sin of Sending Joab. I want you to look at verse number 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. Look at that statement. And David sent Joab. David sent Joab. Joab was an officer in David's army. But Joab wasn't the king. And the Bible said, Brother Jenkins, there was a time in the year when the kings were to go to battle. The kings were to go to battle. And I believe this with all my heart, that David, where he was supposed to be, was on that white stallion.
That's right.
Out there in the front of that thing, leading. And the troops could see their leader out front and see David out there in the battle. David was a man of war. I mean, listen, he'd fought many, many, many battles. He wasn't a coward, so he wasn't there. He wasn't there because he was afraid to go to battle. David, listen, if there's anybody in the Bible wasn't afraid of a fight, it was David. I mean, listen, when a man will take on a bear, barehanded, and he'll take on a lion, and he'll take on a giant, and on, he fought Philistines and fought through battle after battle and battle after battle. David was not a coward.
Right.
So he was not home, and he wasn't sending Joab because he was afraid. I'll tell you what happens. I really believe this, that David got laxed and sort of just thought he just get like we get sometimes to where we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. Now, folks, you know this week here, you got Faith Harbor Week, and everybody gets excited, and you should. But you know what? Why you got a great church here is not because of Faith Harbor Week. This is sort of like the Jubilee. This is sort of like the camp meeting. This is sort of like the get-together where you just sort of kick the brakes off and let her go, Brother Bell, for a week. And I mean, you just, just have a good time in the Lord and come in here and enjoy the preaching and enjoy all this good singing and fellowship and come together just really for a celebration time, really, to be honest with you. And just to come in, get our batteries recharged up. But really, what builds this church and builds this great ministry is not this week, but it's the rest of all those other weeks. You see, it's those other weeks. It's all those other times when there is nobody shouting, when there is nobody out there cheering you on to do what you're doing. It's just that you just do what you're supposed to do. You see what I'm trying to say? You know, there comes a time, and I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Bell, honestly, there's times God stirs my heart. But I'm going to be honest with you, there's times when that I just have to go do what I do because it's time to go do what you're supposed to do. You see what I'm talking about? Hey, now the Bible didn't say, David, go to battle if you feel like it or you're excited about it. It's a set time when the king is to go to battle. But the Bible said David knowed where he was supposed to go, but David sent Joab. Brother Bell, that morning, I can imagine that big old white. I don't know why David, why I think about him riding a white horse. I just think about a solid white, big stallion, about 14 or 15 hands high, stout as a bull, in that pen where they kept the king's horse and fed him with grain every day and walked him and carried him down. And Brother Jenkins, I could see that morning before daylight that man down there in the barn that took care of the horses, he said he walked in there and maybe spoke to that old horse and said, "Well, boy, it's time you're going to battle today." And he got that war blanket out, you know. He got that blanket out that was supposed to go on the king. I think he had a special blanket for war and a special saddle and beautiful halter and bridle and all of that decorated for the king. I mean, brother, it was something. I can see there maybe that morning before daylight, the steam as that big old stallion's prancing around in that stable. I could see the steam coming out of the nostrils of that big old horse as he threw that saddle over him and began to reach under for that girt and tie it up and tie that cinch down tight and began to put that bit in his mouth and started putting everything on. And about that time, Brother Jenkins, a man walks in, maybe a lieutenant, and says, "Sir," he said, "listen, just take the saddle off." take the bridle off. No need for that. He said, well, what's the problem? He said, the king's not going today. The king's not going. You mean he's not going? I mean, he's not going today. Well, what's going on? Is he sick or something wrong? I don't know. I just know he's not going. I don't know all the details. I just know that my orders from higher up, from Joab, is to say, get the horse, the saddle and all of it off his back. He's not going to battle. Now, there was really nothing wrong. He just wasn't going to battle. Now, let me tell you, listen, that a person's going to be, it'll make a great church, it'll make a great Christian. And we ought to be in love with Christ, and you ought to do what you do because you love Him. And you ought to stay fired up, and it's good to stay fired up. But let me tell you something. There's going to be some times in your life. There's going to be some times in your Christian life when you may not be fired up. There might be some times when you're not excited. See, Faith Harbor Week is 1 week. But let me tell you something. It 6 weeks from here on down the road, this man, and the Lord still needs you to get out there on Saturdays and run that buzzer. Amen. He still needs you to go out and visit that Sunday school class. He still needs you to be there on Sunday morning and teach that Sunday school class and be in that children's church and that usher be at his station and every choir member to be in your seats and ready to go and everybody being exactly where they're supposed to be. You say, why? Because there's a time when you're to be ready to go to battle. And I want us to say this right here. But let me tell you what David did. He got up and looked things over a little bit and said, you know what? They ain't going to need me. I'm not going to battle. Joab's been in battles with me. He knows what I want. And he sent a messenger down and said, tell the general Joab to come up here. I need to see him. And old General Joab shows up the door and salutes David and says, sir. And he says, Joab, I'm not going today. I'm not going. He says, you're not going to battle? He said, no, sir. He said, Joab, you've been in many battles with me. You know what I want to do. You know everybody. You know the places. You know everything you ought to do. And I'm not going. You lead him. So, Brother Bill, they get out there and they line up in formation and the cavalry all gets on their horses and several hundreds of them lined up and the old infantry's there with their spears and shields getting ready to walk. And Joab gets out in front of that crowd and says, I have an announcement to make today. We're getting ready to go to battle, but our king will not be with us today. But we're going to have to go and do today what we're supposed to do. And he's put me in charge. And so today I'll be given the commands. Now they didn't say anything, didn't say this, but I guarantee you that in their hearts they're thinking a little bit, well, what's the matter? You know, I just believe, Brother Jenkins, when if old David would have come riding out of that stable that morning on that big old white stallion slinging its head around and David cutting maybe a little bit of dust up under its feet and straightening that old stallion up and that glistening saber hanging off the side, of that, I'm telling you right now, friend, that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up thinking about it. Hey, I'm telling you right now. Hey, I'm just simply saying there's something about the king being out there.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. I want you to just listen to me. But in your life, if you're a Sunday school teacher, let me say you, you're the king of the class. If you're a bus worker, you're the king of the class. You work in children's church, you sing in the choir. Hey, you're in business for the king. You're in business for the king. You see what I'm trying to say? And what you don't need to do ever as long as you live, you don't need to send Joab. Because when you send Joab, you're asking for trouble. Amen. Let me tell you what David did. Amen. When the cavalry pulled out and the infantry moved out and all the chariots started leaving the palace and heading out to go to battle, David might have stood at the window and watched them a little bit. He may have even saluted them and waved as they pulled out of the premises. But waved at him a little bit, and the generals looked his way and saluted as they rode by with their horses. But let me tell you what happened. David went back to bed.
Yes.
You say, how you know? Look at it. Yep. Look at the scriptures. Look at verse 2. And it came to pass. At first, in verse 1, David stared still at Jerusalem. Now, by the way, look up here. I am a David fan.
Amen.
I love David. Yep. Don't think I'm ripping on David here. I'm just telling you the facts. And by the way, these stories are in here for you and me to learn from.
Amen.
I love David. I'm not worthy to shine his shoes. I love David, but I'm just telling you what happened. David tarried still at Jerusalem. And then the next thing, and it came to pass an evening tide, in an evening tide, that David arose from off his bed. Now, folks, you know what that means? He stayed in bed all day.
Right.
He stayed in bed all day. Wow. That's exactly what it means. And look at this. And at evening tide, David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Hey, listen, you know what? Now, you see what I'm saying? Where he should have been? You see the thing now? Hey, but he slept all day. He went and got back into bed. I wonder how many of God's people that used to on Saturday mornings come out for bus visitation, soul winning, and showed up, Brother Bell, and used to come out here and have their Bible and their bus book and their Sunday school attendance book and tracts in their pocket, an old ink pen hanging out there, and a brother getting ready to go out and represent Anchor Baptist Church and get ready to go out and do what they're supposed to do. But you know what happened? That day come when they got up that morning, and they said, well, the meeting starts about 8 o'clock this morning or 9 o'clock, whatever it might be. And I know where I ought to be, but you know what? Today I just ain't going today. Yeah. You know what? That's a dangerous thing.
Yeah. Right there. Yeah.
It really is dangerous. Yeah. Now, here's what happened. David got in deep trouble, but it all started with this. When David sent Joab. Here's the sermon. I'm going to give it to you quick and let Brother Jenkins come preach. Number one, don't send Joab to walk with God for you. Do not send Joab to walk with God for you. There is nobody but you can walk with God for you. Let me tell you something. There's no doubt in my mind that Brother Bell's a great preacher. And he'll give you great truths from the Bible. But can I say this right here? You can sit and take notes, buy his CDs, and you ought to do all the above. It's good to take every note, everything he preaches. It's good to take the adult Sunday school classes, notes from the preacher or the teacher. And it's good to get the CDs and put them in your car and listen to them all the time. But folks, listen to what I'm talking. You personally ought to walk with God for you. You can't send, son, somebody to walk with God for you. Teenager, I'm talking about, you can't send somebody. Mother and dad can walk with God and know God and love God, but that won't do for you.
Amen.
Hey, Sunday school pupil, your teacher can walk with God and be the best Sunday school teacher in the state of Ohio, but that won't walk with God for you. You can sing in the choir and sing all the right kind of music and sing the songs and enjoy the singing, but that's still not your walk with God. Brother, the walk with God is what keeps you on the battlefield.
Yes. Amen.
The walk with God is what will make you go do what you're supposed to do when you don't feel like doing what you're supposed to do. You see what I'm saying? Your walk with God is what will give you the fuel. I tell you right now, it all starts. Anybody that gets into any kind of sin, gets into trouble, they're in trouble way before you saw it. David was in trouble before they ever seen what happened. Let me tell you what happened. Brother, when your walk with God gets laxed, things begin to creep into your life and begin to get into your life. And the first thing you know, brother, when time comes to go do battle, you're not ready, you're not excited about it, you're not fueled up about it. But brother, if you'll walk with God yourself, I'm talking about every day you live, get this old book down and get something out of it. Hey, I'm talking about read it when you don't feel like reading. I'm talking about pray when you don't feel like praying. I'm talking about get alone with God and find you a place and get with God and spend time with God and beg God for His blessings and power and walk with God. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. You can't send somebody to walk with God for you. You can't send Joab to do what you're supposed to do. Are you listening to me? I don't care how much. You can sit and listen to sermon after sermon after sermon. That's not walking with God. That's good. It'll help you. It'll encourage you. But your walk with God is when you get your Bible down and you walk through the pages with God. You let God's work cleanse you and speak to you and do something in you. And then you have your time. It's good to get in a prayer meeting with other people. But can I say this right here? And I believe in prayer meetings like that. We have every Saturday night, we have a men's prayer meeting at the church. But Brother Bell, you know, there's some things I need to talk to God about. I don't need anybody else. Hey, I need to talk with God myself. There's some things that I need to get right, get cleaned up about, and things that I'm praying about for other people. There's some times that I don't need a bunch of people in that prayer meeting. It's just, hey, it's me and Him. It's me and Him. And I need that. I think you'll do your best praying when it's you and Him. You'll be more honest. Do you know if you're praying, sir, and there's a bunch of people around while you're praying, if you're not careful, you'll become conscious of what you're saying and how it sounds. But when it's just you and Him, you'll be totally honest, and you ain't trying to put no icing on it. There's no icing. You're just being totally honest. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I guarantee you tonight, if you called up son to this pulpit to pray tonight, you'd probably say some things or think about how something says when you're talking to God, because you're conscious all these people are here. But if you're back there in one of them Sunday school classes by yourself on both knees and bended down, and you're talking to God by yourself and there's nobody else around there, listen, it gets on then. Is anybody listening? That's, hey, you're walking with God yourself. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Hey, you can't send Joab. Enoch didn't send Joab. Genesis 5:22, and Enoch walked with God. Noah didn't send Joab, and Noah walked with God. And you know that even Martha, and Martha, I believe Martha and Lazarus and Mary love God. I believe they all love God. Hey, preacher, but whenever Jesus showed up there in Capernaum at their house, Mary said, fiddle with this mess. Yes. Hey, fiddle with sweeping right now. Amen. Hey, look, that mop can rest right now. Jesus is here. Amen. Hey, preacher, I believe she went and got her Bible pen and her notes and her little old Bible, and she sat down at the feet of Jesus and looked up in His face, and Jesus started teaching her. Well, Martha was a great person, but Martha was doing the mopping, sweeping, and all the cooking, Brother Yoder. I mean, she had about 3 skillets going, and she was trying to get Jesus a meal going and mop the floor and make sure everything was just right. And Martha rebuked Mary.
Yeah, that's right.
She said, Lord, doest thou not care? She's really rebuking Jesus. Do you not care that Mary's left me alone to do what I'm doing? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha.
Boy.
Mary has chosen the good part.
Amen.
And thou art cumbered about many things.
Amen.
Hey, let me tell you about Christians, brother. We get tied up in a bunch of things don't matter. I'll tell you right now, brother, it'll tell on you if you don't get alone with God. Brother, let me tell you, you can take every bit of this that's in this week, but I'm telling you what, in the morning when the meeting's over, you better be getting a hold of Him. You better be getting in that old book in the morning and getting in your prayer closet. You say, why? Because there's the work of God's got to go on for the rest of this year. You see what I'm talking about? The sin of sending Joab to walk with God for you. Then number two, don't send Joab to do the will of God for you. Hey, do you know there's a will of God for everybody in this room?
That's right.
That nobody can do but you. Nobody. Brother Bell, there's nobody can pastor this church at this time except Dr. George Bell and be in the will of God. It's the will of God for him to be the pastor of this church. Brother Bell, as much as I know that I'm alive, and I ain't sure about it sometimes, but as much as I know what my name is, Brother Jenkins, I know that I'm supposed to be the pastor at this point in time in my life.
Yes.
And for 29 years, I've known I was supposed to be the pastor of the Trinity Baptist Church in Moxville.
Amen.
Now, sometimes I've had preachers tell me, well, I think I'll resign. Somebody else could do a better job. No. Not if it's the will of God for you to be there. Now, let me tell you right now. Brother, you ought to nail this thing down and say this. This is God's will for me. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Brother Clay, you do what God's got you doing here and say, this is it right here. And I mean to tell you, and Brother Matt, same thing. This is it. This is the place for you. It's what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm saying, nobody could do what you're supposed to do for God and be what you're supposed to be. But you. Hey, God told Elijah, go down by the brook of Cherith, and I will sustain thee there. Everybody has a there. I'll feed you there. I'll answer you there. I'll take care of you over there. Hey, listen. And if he had went somewhere else trying to make it on himself, he'd have starved to death, man. Hey, even them birds, God had them birds trained to go there. God had that water brook, listen, there. He had everything there. You know what? And when you're there, you can't send Joab. See, the place, the there for David was on the battlefield. There. The battlefield. There was a time when the kings were to go to war, but David was not there. Let me tell you something, brother. Jonah messed up when he didn't go there. He's supposed to went to Nineveh, jumped a boat to Tarshish. And brother, let me tell you, you think riding the devil's boat, you won't have to pay, brother. It said he paid the fare thereof. Let me tell you, if you're going to ride the devil's boat, you're going to pay dear. You say, why? Because you're not there. Why? You're not where you're supposed to be. You're sending Joab. Jonah was supposed to went to Nineveh and cried out against their sins and preached revival. And Brother Jenkins, he said, I'm not going. Let some other evangelist go. But it wasn't the will of God for another evangelist to go. It was the will of God for Jonah to go to Nineveh and cry out against their sin. And brother, when he got out there, let me tell you right now, brother, that God had a storm waiting on them. And God had a fish circling that boat the whole time. He had a whale circling that boat, and them men got out there. Listen, if old Jonah had been what he ought to have been anyhow, he'd been trying to win. They had to ask him what's your occupation.
Right.
He ought to have been telling them when he got on with a handful of tracks what his occupation was. He ought to have been getting on there and said, boys, I'm a soul winner. I'm an evangelist. But he got on there and they had to say, hey, what's your occupation? I think he cleared his throat two or three times and said, well, be honest with you, I'm in evangelism. I got a ministry. Hey, what he ordered said, I'm supposed to be on that other boat going down there to get them people right with God. But you know what happened? Brother, they tried to bring that old boat in. Brother John preached on them storms this morning. Hey, this one right here was stuck up. Just like it was in a mud hole. They couldn't bring it in. And you know what? They said, there's something matter here. Yeah, I'll tell you what was the matter. He wasn't there. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. And you know what? He said, boys, I'm the problem. And you know what they did? They had to throw Jonah overboard. Some of you's got some Jonahs in your life. Needs to go overboard. And when they throwed old Jonah overboard, business picked up. Hey, listen, that old whale opened its mouth, and I don't think Jonah ever touched the water, brother. He went straight down the pipe. 3 days and three nights in the seaweed motel. Brother, he is down in there. Let me tell you something. When God got done with him. Now listen to this. Brother Jenkins, I believe this. I believe Jonah died in there. People say, I don't believe that. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus died, didn't he? And Jesus went 3 days and three nights. Is that what he said? Brother Bell, I ain't never heard anybody say this, but I'll tell you what happened. He said, he's talking about his resurrection. He said, even as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. He said, even so must the Son of Man be. In other words, he said, that's what I'm going to do. Now, let me tell you what. Hey, brother, he was down. Now, I don't think he died immediately. He was down there praying, crying out. But let me tell you what happened. Hey, all them old acids down in there, Brother John, eat his skin off. And listen, it bleached him out as white as a Pillsbury Doughboy. Hey, let me tell you something. When God got done with him and got right with God, and that old fish come up on the beachhead and spit him out, vomited him out, brother, he hit the ground running with a Schofield under his arm, said, Nineveh, here I come. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. Listen to me tonight. He said, I've got to get where I'm supposed to. There's not another evangelist on the planet that's supposed to be in Nineveh except Jonah. And the greatest revival in the history of the Bible was in the city of Nineveh. Why? Because a man quit sending Joab and went himself. You can't send. You can't send Joab to be in the will of God. You can't send somebody to do what God wants you to do. That's the reason you can't go and say, well, I'm going to give up my bus route and find somebody to run it. When we get somebody to run it, I'll stay with you. You can find somebody. Hey, look, you're supposed to be running it. You don't give that Sunday school class up and say, well, you know, I've been in the way long enough. And I've been, hey, if you've been teaching 10, 15, 20 years, you ought to know that book pretty good. How you got it figured, somebody been saved 2 or 3 months is going to come in and do a better job teaching Sunday school, and you've been saved 15 years? Hey, that dog won't hunt right there. That's crazy. Brother, that's a lie from the devil. The sin of sending Joab. Oh, let me tell you something. You do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Then let me say this right here. Don't send Joab to do the work that you're supposed to do. The job. God has work for everybody in this room. I'm convinced of it.
Yes, sir.
You know what? There was a bunch with Moses like that. And you know what they did? The tribes of Reuben and Gad said to Moses, you know what, we're cattle ranchers. I mean, we raise cattle. We're not warriors. They was getting ready to go to battle. And they said, won't you just let us stay here on this side of Jordan and not have to go and not go fight? And Numbers 32:6, Moses said this to them, shall your brethren go to war? And ye said, here. You said, what's that mean? It means, shall Joab go? And you stay here? That's what it means. It means this, that God has a work for everybody in this room. Brother Bell, wouldn't it be good if everybody, now maybe not a brand new convert, to go get some job in the church till you learn what's going on. But there's people sitting around on church benches that could be teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir, ushering, helping with a bus route, running a bus route, doing many, many things they could be doing. And they're absolutely saying this, Brother Bell, let me stay on this side of Jordan and raise cows and let everybody else go out and fight the battle.
Amen.
Hey, let me tell you something. Listen, shall your brethren go to war? And ye said here, absolutely not. Hey, when old Nehemiah, Brother Jenkins, when Nehemiah started building them walls and he got that vision to go build the walls of Jerusalem back, and Nehemiah got the burden and got a few men with him, and they had a prayer meeting and God gave him the green light on that thing. Old Nehemiah got people going, and the Bible said in chapter 4, verse 6, so built we the wall. And it says the people had a mind to work.
Yeah.
The people. Not just the pastor. Your pastor has a vision. But brother, it takes more than a good pastor. It takes everybody saying, I've got to work. Hey, and the Bible said about him in Nehemiah, everyone returned to his work. Everybody's got to work. Some was mixing mud and laying block, and some was digging ditches, and some was cleaning up and rolling wheelbars and bringing tools. Some was cooking lunch and trying to fix. Hey, and some was standing there with binoculars watching for old Sanballat and Geshem and Tobiah. Hey, and when they come, they said, boys, lay your trowel down and get your knife. They're coming. Time to fight. Time to fight. Brother, they'd fight and run that crowd back off, and Brother James, they'd go back to mixing mud and laying block. Hey, but they got the walls built. You know why? Because every man did what he was supposed to do and did not send Joab. Hey, I'm about done here. Jesus asked him there in Matthew 20, why stand you here all the day idle? I'm hiring. God's hiring. Let me tell you something. People say, well, I'd like getting a membership. So let me tell you something. You get busy and God will wear you out. Hey, you show up here every Thursday night or Saturday morning, whatever it is, with an ink pen in your pocket and a bunch of tracts and convert slips, and say, Brother Bell, whoever you need me to go with, just send me and I'll get out here and knock doors, or if you want me to help out on a bus, or you wait and see, and you just be faithful doing that and see if business don't pick up. Huh? You get say, Brother Bell, I'm here. What do you need? He says, well, I need you to go back and mop them bathrooms and clean in here and vacuum in here. I need some grass cut out here. I need something done over here. You just be willing to whatever it is for the cause of Christ. Hey, work. You know what it is? Hey, I'll be honest with you. You know what we're doing? Listen to what I'm telling you. Do you know, brother? Hey, and listen. I'm just being honest as I know how to be. Down in North Carolina, if it wasn't people, listen, fuss about the borders, about closing the borders and Hispanic people not coming in here. Listen, down our way, Brother Clay, if it wasn't for Hispanics, Brother, Brother Jenkins, they ain't no. You don't ever see no white man with a shovel or a mattock.
Right.
You don't hardly ever see that no more.
Right.
Hey, you say, well, who is? I see those boys wasn't making nothing, crossed over to come over here, trying to make enough to, hey, listen, so they can live. But you know what? Hey, they don't care. They get down there and they'll dig and work.
Yeah.
And you know what's happened is, hey, we're trying to do this. We're sending Joab. Hey, everybody wants to wear a white shirt and a tie with an iPad and a cell phone and a Bluetooth in his ear and not have to get dirty and sit in an air-conditioned office. But folks, it ain't that way. That ain't reality. Hey, somebody's going to have sweat like... Hey, somebody's got to sweat like a pig every now and then. Somebody's going to have to get hot. Somebody's got to dig. Somebody's got to take an axe, cut a tree down. Somebody's got to stretch barbed wire. Somebody's got to mix mud. Somebody's got to get up under a bus, Brother Yoder, and take the oil plug out of the oil pan with grease and oil running down his arm. See, you don't see all that. You don't see all that, but I'm telling you, if somebody don't sweat, this place won't go. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. I'm for every modern thing we can get, but I'm telling you right now, just because you got a website ain't going to build your church. It ain't, Brother Bell, it ain't going to do it. I ain't against it.
Yeah.
We got somebody built one for us. I ain't really ever looked at it because I don't know how to get to it. And I'm not against them. But I'm telling you, I ain't had nobody come in and say, sir, what must I do to be saved? I saw your website.
Yeah.
But I tell you what I have done. I have went out and knocked on doors in that 100 degree North Carolina heat. And every now and then went an old boy to Christ. Or go out on a bus and get a man or a woman to come ride the bus. But son, we had to go and physically go do work. Every man to the work. Work, I said. Lazy people. Brother, let me tell you something. Brother Bell, let me tell you. America has got more lazy people per square inch than any country in the world. Lazy, I say.
Yes.
And by the way, preachers are leading the pack.
Yeah.
Boy, thank God for your pastor. Thank God, Brother Jenkins, these other good men of God that's here tonight that'll get out and go get the work done. But brother, they some of them, listen, they wouldn't give 10 cents to do work to see a gnat eat a bale of hay. I mean, they wouldn't give a nickel to see God do something. I mean, they're just there to draw a paycheck and get fat and lazy and do nothing. And I'm telling you, brother, if we ever win this country to God and ever see anything happen in this country, somebody better sweat.
Amen.
Then let me say this here and I'm done. Don't send Joab to do your witnessing.
Yeah.
Listen to this right here. Don't send Joab to do your witnessing.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know something? Sir, you're going to see people this week that I will never see.
That's right.
This young man right here is going to see people. Son, you'll see people this week, I'll never come in contact with them.
Yep. Right.
You'll go a different direction. Yep. On the other hand, I'm going to see people you'll never see.
Right.
And you know what? If every one of us, every one of us, just make it a habit. That when you go out of this church, you find you a stack of gospel
tracts.
And just put them in your pocket.
Yeah.
And listen, just make it, just when you see people come in contact with people, just say, hey, could I give you something?
Amen.
Could I just give you something that'll tell you how you can know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Hey, Brother Bell, I'm not even saying that everybody you see, you got to stop and give them a plan of salvation. But I'll tell you, if the Holy Ghost deals with you about it, you better do it.
Yes.
Brother Jenkins, and I'll close this right. Johnny Pope told this story. Bobby Robertson actually told it, but Johnny Pope said that he was a soul winner. And Johnny said because of traveling and trying to pastor the church and stuff, he said, I got laxed in my witness. I wasn't really doing like I was supposed to be doing about my soul winning. And I was convicted about it. He said, one day I told God, going down through Houston, he was going to make a hospital visit, and he said, I told God, Lord, if you'll put somebody in my path today, do you want me to talk to you? I'll stop and witness to him. Preacher, he said at the bus stop, there was a like a little bench there at a bus stop. And Johnny Pope said when he drove by, there's a man sitting on a bench. Young man, probably 25 years old. And Johnny Pope said, it seemed like God said, right there's one. And he said, I got to looking. And he said, Lord, there ain't a parking place. And he said, he looked again, and there was a white SUV started backing out. And Johnny Pope said, I just put the brakes on and stopped and waited till he backed out and pulled right in there. And he said, I didn't have my Testament with me. I had my old big black Bible. He said, I just reached over the seat and grabbed that old big Bible. And he said, normally I'd have my Testament. And he said, I just took that big old Bible and walked straight over to that guy and said, sir, I'm not going to waste any time about it. My name's Dr. Johnny Pope. I'm the pastor of a Baptist church down here. And I want to ask you a question. Are you a Christian? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? And he said the man had a real accent. Brother Jenkins, he just got here from Argentina, just landed a few hours ago and caught a bus. He was trying to find work and get settled in there in Houston. He said, sir, I just came here from Argentina and said, my mother and my daddy are agnostics and atheists. I've been raised all my life to be atheist. But he said a while back, he said, my life's never been anything but misery. And I started looking for God, but I really didn't know how to get to God. I didn't even know if there is a God. But he said, Mr. Pope, he said, when I got off this bus, he said, God, if you're up there and you're real.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I mean, when he got off that bus sitting on that bench there.
Yeah.
He said, if you're up there and you're real, I don't know. And if there really is a heaven, I don't even know. But if you're real, would you please let me know how to get to you? And Johnny Pope said, I sat down there and he said, I wept like a baby. And opened up my Bible and he said, for about 25 or 30 minutes, I sat right there with that old boy. He said, and watched the tears roll and drop off his face. He said, I can't believe this, but I just asked the God of heaven to show me if he was real. And Johnny Pope listened, got that old boy in his church and got him baptized. And he lived there for a while and then left. And he said, I've kept contact with him. He stayed in church. Completely changed his life. You know why? Because he didn't. Hey, let me tell you what happened that day. Johnny Pope didn't send some Joab. Hey, look at me a minute and I'm through. Bible's closed. But I want to ask you a question. Tomorrow, Saturday. Tomorrow. This coming week. I wonder who it'll be over here in Columbus somewhere. Brother Yoder, I wonder who it might be. That's sitting on a sidewalk somewhere or mowing his grass.
Yes.
I wonder who it is that God would just have you to stop.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'll tell you what, if you ain't careful, you'll get sorry.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what'll happen is you'll get up and say, boy, I'm for soul winning, but you'll never do it.
Right.
You won't do it. I'll tell you what happened is. Oh, we used to win souls.
Yeah,
David. I know. Folks, look. Look at what happened to David because of sin and Joab.
Amen.
You talking about a mess. And folks, it wasn't just adultery. And that's bad enough.
Right.
But he murdered a man. He had a man sent to the battlefield and said, when you get him in the hottest part of the battle, run off and leave him.
Yeah.
He lied. He committed adultery. He murdered a man. And all this happened. Then his baby died. And preacher, the sword never left the house of David.
Right.
You say, why didn't the sword leave the house of David? Because, sir, he sent Joab. You want to know why David suffered? Because one morning he slept in when he ought to have been on the back of that horse. Something to think about, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
The sin of sending Joab. I'm not going to give an invitation. I'm going to pray. But I hope that'll help you tonight. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you for this meeting. What a meeting we've had. And Lord, now Brother Jenkins is going to come, bless him and fill him with the Holy Spirit of God as he preaches. I pray you'll bless the remainder of the singing and the invitation tonight. But Lord, I hope if there's somebody sitting here that's sending Joab and about to ruin their life because of it, may you, Lord, please let this story be the one that tonight maybe would influence them to get out of bed and get in the battle. Get back on that bus. Get back in that Sunday school class. Get back to the choir. Get back in the usher station. Get back to that children's church helper. Get back to that whatever they do for the cause of Christ. Whatever it is, get back to soul winning. Get back to giving and tithing. Don't send Joab. Lord, please help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you, dear brother.
Let's all get a songbook and sing together. Let's stand and turn to page 401. Is it the crowning day? Page 401. Jesus may come today. Glad day, glad day. And I would see my friend. Dangers and trouble would end if Jesus should come today. Glad day, glad day. Is it the crowning day? I'll live for today, nor anxious be. Jesus, my Lord, I soon shall see. Glad day, glad day. Is it the crowning day? Let's take a moment and shake hands.